Morning. It's nice to be here with you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed time. We thank you, Father, for this gathering here of people who have come here today for different reasons. But Father, in you we find the true reason. It is for finding the truth, understanding, wisdom, not like the world knows, but is only can be found with you in heaven. We pray, Father, that you would bless us through your word, that we would listen, that we would bend our ear to what you would have to say to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a little bit of a risk going on today. Yesterday, a lot of you went to the beach, and I know some of you got sunburned. And so there's a little bit of a risk of falling asleep during the sermon. So I'll try to raise my voice time to time and keep you with it. It was nice to know that you had a good time. I wish I could have been there. Maybe next time. But it's good to see everybody so brown and healthy looking. If you think that's what healthy looks like. there's a lot of different ways that people communicate these days. We have Facebook, we have something called Twitter. You aware of that? People know what I'm talking about when I say Twitter? How about some of the adults are shaking their head? No. Okay. Get with it, all right? You got to wake up. You got to take a look at what your kids are doing and then you'll know what I'm talking about. Not to spy on them, but just to, maybe you'll learn something if you take a look at Twitter. Okay, go home and ask your kids what it means, and then they'll be saying, I don't know what Uncle John is talking about. Leave my Twitter alone. But anyway, Twitter is a means of sharing what's on your mind. That's my version of it anyway. Maybe you have a different way of looking at it. But a Twitter is signified by a tweet. It's kind of cute, right? A tweet. You send out a tweet, and a tweet is something that says what's on your mind, or you could, I don't know. I don't want to say too much about it. It's kind of like that. And if you write something down, there is a requirement there. And one of the requirements, I was corrected in my Sunday school class today. I thought it was 130 characters or less, but it's actually 160. Is that right, Crystal? Is it 160 you were saying? I think so. Okay, so I don't know whether that means with or without spaces. There's many, many different things to learn. But you are limited in how much you can say. And it's very, very, well, there's all kinds of reasons for them doing that. I think probably each one of you has a different concept in mind as to why they are limiting you to 130, 160 characters or less. It's probably like around 30 words, you know, give or take. You get about 30 words to write something. And you send it out, and a lot of famous people use that, and people are, it's all over the internet, and you can hear these people, what these people are saying. And some of the things are good, and some of the things aren't so good. But anyway, I think that the proverb that we have today would fit in the 130 or 160 characters or less view. So it's a perfect thing for this type of world that we're living in. The only difference is that when you start to read the Proverbs, you start to understand a little bit more about what God is trying to say to us. And the things that he has to say to us are purposely written in this way so that we begin to ponder and think about what it is that he is saying to us. The Proverbs are an excellent way for us to communicate our faith today in this world that we're living in because people have a restriction on how much they want to read or to hear. But it's an excellent, excellent way for us to approach these things, and that's why we only have one verse today. There's a lot going on in this one verse. So we want to take a look at that one verse. Let me read it again to you. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Now, this is one version of this. You may have a different version that uses different words, but we're going to use this one. And it's very thought-provoking. When you begin with the first word actually in the translation in the original language was to roll. It's interesting, right? To roll. And it has this kind of an emphasis of rolling things over to God, rolling something to him. There's another use of it in another psalm where it says to cast your cares. You were reading, you were saying that today, right? In your prayer about to cast your burdens on the Lord. And it's that word actually has the idea of rolling. It's nice. It's actually a very friendly way. I like it. I prefer it to commit because it kind of has a rhythm to it. It has a kind of a movement to it. It has an action to it that I can relate to a little bit better. I think it's a good way of thinking of that. So you roll things to the Lord. Whatever you do. So the next question is, what are you doing? What are you doing? Did you ever stop and think about what you're doing? You know, it's packed with all kinds of different flavors and all different kinds of possibilities. This is a word of God. God, this is incredible power who has massive amounts of things to share with us and to instill in our hearts, and he gives us these kind of things to think about today. So what are you doing in your life? What would you answer if someone were to ask you that? Well, I thought about it in terms of what was also mentioned by our brother about what is going on with some of the kids going away to college. I don't want to make anybody cry, including myself, if we start to talk about those kids too much. But it's not just the women who have these, you know, things involved with their kids going away to school. And some of the kids are still here, and the parents have another week to enjoy the time, and we have time to enjoy with those that are still with us here before they go off. But that's one of the things that's going on, right? They're planning. What are they doing? They're going off to a new place, to a whole new environment. They're leaving the safety of their homes, and they're going to a new place to study and to be on their own for the first time. Right. So they have all that. They're doing that. There are things going on in our church. There's planning going on for the Sunday school, for the English congregation. There's plans in place to start thinking about those kind of things. So what are we doing? We're making plans in that way. Right. So we're doing those things. So the obvious thing here is to think that we are going to roll them over to God. If we do that, then we'll be okay. We're listening to what he's saying to us here. Roll them, give them to him. There are other things that you're doing that you may not be aware of, but when you're coming to church and you're being taught something, there is something going on there. Right? If you're in Sunday school, you're not just showing up and being there, but you are participating. You are also actually, if you're smart and you're listening to what this proverb is saying, you are taking that part of your life where you are learning something, either here or in the school that you're attending, and you're taking that and saying, Lord, I'm going to be participating in Sunday school this year. I'm going to give that part of my life to you. Now, if I'm going to school, then I'm going to start praying for my teachers and for all the people there and start to feel like I'm going to prepare myself this way for what I'm about to undertake. You know, just start doing it. You don't just go and feel like you're okay, I'm going to take everything. You're going there with the purpose of giving. And I think the way that you learn what you can give is by giving it to God. And then he in return shows you these things in response to that. I'd like to share with you something that someone is doing. We were talking about these sports people in the past, like Tim Tebow and a guy named Jeremy something. Traitor who went to Houston. No. Anyway, so this... yeah, he's old news now. So, but anyway, I'd like to introduce a woman, a lady to you, to be fair, since we have so many ladies here. We'd like to get to know a lady athlete who is making an impact in the Christian world, and her name is Maya Moore. Nathan should know this because she plays for the Minnesota Lynx, the women's basketball team. Yeah, and they're the champions, actually. They're the best women's team for a long time now, and she went to the Olympics, and she played there, and they really, really did well. The American women came in first, you know, they won the gold medal, and this young lady is an incredible person, and she's a Christian, and she gave this interview. I'd like to play a clip from, if this works, hopefully it will for a minute here, and we're going to listen to what she has to say on NBC News. She was interviewed before she went over there.
Okay. Now I'm a professional basketball player. I started playing in 2008, and I just kept playing up every year after that. Learned the fundamentals, just kept playing, and I really was able to become a good basketball player because I played all the time. I was in a unique generation where I was able to watch WNBA and NBA growing up as a kid, so I always knew that WNBA was out there for me. It gave me some confidence to continue to play, to continue to have confidence in being a pro basketball player. That is the goal of mine, and I couldn't make a career out of that because, you know, WNBA is there, so I watched like Cindy Cooper and, you know, Lisa Leslie, she was watching.
That's it. Thanks. It goes on from there from other parts, but that was the main thing and idea. Could you understand her okay? Okay. It's a little bit hard from up here to know whether you can or not. So she said she does things from the perspective of saying, how can I glorify God with this? And that's the way she goes about things. This is a girl, well, she looks very nice right there, but she's an incredible competitor. She was described by Chris Paul as, actually, he said the people like her being on the women's basketball team is unfair because they're so good and they play really better than a lot of the men in the NBA. But she's a fierce, fierce competitor, and she really hates to lose. But her faith is the thing that means most to her, and that drives her in her life. Talking about tweeting, she was... tweeting. She has a Twitter page, and it says a couple of things that she wrote were, as we read your word, Lord, romance our hearts with an awareness and insight of your presence and truth. Amen. Wow. It's great, isn't it? Thankful for so much, overwhelmed by God's grace. Another one. I just want to do what God graced me to do. How to figure this out? Read his word, fellowship with him in the people he's placed in my life. One of the things that she does well is tweeting, and she puts these things out there, and they speak very loudly in a few words. But another thing that she mentioned speaks even more loudly, I believe, and that thing is this. She formed in the University of Connecticut, a team Bible study. And her roommate is a very famous basketball player as well. And her roommate said that she, because of Maya's influence in her life as her roommate in school, discovered the meaning of life and found it in Jesus Christ. And it was her influence in being around her as a roommate in college. She started a Lynx. The Minnesota Lynx have a team Bible study that she also leads. So she's not just saying it, she's actually putting it into use and into performance in her life. That's her purpose. The basketball, like she said, is great and everything like that, but God is the most important part of her life. That is a true testimony of what God is looking for in each one of us. To look at your strengths, to look at each one of the things that you have been given and graced with, and to say, how can I then use this for God's glory? She said also, one more thing, I want to look back at the performances knowing that I've honored the Lord. So this is the perspective that I believe that God is looking at us all today through his scripture. Roll everything in your life to the Lord. Whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. I'd like to take a look at the word success. One time when I was singing in opera back in the old days, about in, I guess, around 1995 or so, I was interviewed, and this person asked me, she said, "I'm going to give you different words, and I want you to comment on them." And one of the words that she gave me was success. It was a great, great question, I think, to ask someone. What is your impression of success? And I think what I said to her was something like, success is fleeting. You can't really depend on it. It comes and it goes very quickly. But I think that there's more to it than that. And I think that God gives us a very good perspective on what success is about. And I believe that it has to do with Him, and it has to do with faith. One of the people that comes to mind in the Bible when we think of faith is Abraham. Abraham was probably considered throughout the world as a man of faith, a great figure for faith, who exhibited that. And what did he become famous for? He became famous for obeying God without knowing the future. He really did roll his whole life over to God and say, "Okay, I'll just do whatever you say to do." That doesn't mean that he was perfect. He made mistakes. There were times documented in the Bible where he had made mistakes. And he relied on his own powers to get through situations where he should have trusted God more. But in the end, it is his faith that is remembered most distinctly. He was a man who did what God wanted him to do. He didn't say, "I want to do all these different things and then do them." He trusted God with his life, and he gave God full control of his life. And I believe that this proverb is really talking about that, a completeness, a complete rolling of our complete self over to God, and a complete trust in Him and dependency on God. We get into trouble when we start to think that I'm going to give portions of myself to God, but the rest belongs to me. I'm going to entrust my kids to God, but I myself am not going to attend church. I am going to keep what I want for myself, and I'll let God have part of me. And that's when you're on the road to destruction. And that is not a sign of what God is looking for from each one of us. He's looking for a full, complete, giving over of ourselves to Him. And that's when we will know that our plans will succeed. But this idea of success, what is this idea of success? Well, we take a look at the example of Jesus, and we see in the Bible that Jesus was someone who did exactly what we're talking about here and what this proverb is talking about. He gave himself completely to God, the Father. He gave himself in obedience to the Father's will. It was Jesus who said, "Not my will, but thy will, Father." That doesn't mean that Jesus didn't want things for himself. He wanted to be saved from all of the scorn and the pain of the cross. He cried out to God and asked him to save him from that. But at the end, he said, "But thy will be done, Father. Thy will be done." And that is what we need to listen to here. That is what we need to listen to. There are many people that think of Jesus and his life as being a failure because he lived and he was scorned by people and people made fun of him and killed him. But we know better. Because it was through the obedience to his Father that he gained eternal life for each one of us sitting here today. It was being scorned for the sake of the Father in heaven that describes success. It is sacrifice and obedience and love for a higher power, a higher authority than ourselves. And that is what our Father is. So what are you doing in your life? What are you doing in your life? Are you trying to plan things yourself? Are you trying to do all the things that are going on in your life by yourself? Are you trying to control people? Are you trying to control others by holding on to your own beliefs, to your own desires, to your own opinions. We need to let go of those things and trust God with them, to give them all over to Him, and He will bless it. I came up with this idea of what faith is: complete trust and dependence on God. But I believe that faith equals what God decides is best for my life. That is one part of what faith is today, I think. It's feeling and believing what God decides with the things that I give to Him is best for my life. Do we really feel that way? Do we feel that our lives are best described by what God feels is best for us? Or do we describe what is best for ourselves and desire that more than what God has to give to us? Jesus showed us the way in a humble, obedient way to His Father. He was willing to go the full way. And I believe that completeness is the completeness that is inherent here in this short proverb today. That there isn't any holding back. There isn't any reserving for ourselves. It is a completeness of giving ourselves to Him so that He can bless our lives. And then we will see what He has for us in these coming months. I read something that I believe is very important and very poignant about this proverb. And what was written is that we need to look at this proverb in a very humble way, and also in a season of prayer. A season of prayer. And so I think what we need to do now in this coming months, as we approach the ones where many of us are transitioning into new areas, where we are going into new grades, many of you have already posted your schedules, and you know your schedules that are coming up, right? Look at this coming time in this transition, in all that you do, in all that you're planning, in all that's being planned for you, and describe it and think of it as a season of prayer. That we are going to come to God in this season that is before us, and we are going to ask Him what is best for us. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for these perfect words in your word, that are only a couple of sentences and yet have so much power. I pray, Father, that you would help each one of us to humble ourselves as Christ did on the cross, to not look for our own gain, not trying to hold to our own opinions, our own desires for what is coming before us, but in all that we do and all the plans that we make, Father, to roll them over to you so that you can bless them. We know, Father, that we can plead and we can ask you for something to happen in our life, and we could want it with all of our hearts. We could say, Lord, I really want this. I really want to do this in my life. I really want it this way. But help us, Lord, to be satisfied when you answer us that you have a much better way, a different way, that is the best for us. Lord, we are so, so weak. And we sometimes think that we have all the answers, but we only have something in our lives, Lord, of worth and of truth when we have you and are doing your will. Thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.